Let's pray together as we open God's word today. Lord God, we thank you so much for this great privilege to be in your house. We have come here to seek your face, to hear your voice. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who's called us. And it's your spirit that draws us and unites us with Jesus. Jesus, the one lifted up to bear all the sin of the world. Jesus, the one laid low. Jesus, the one on the third day who rose victorious. And Lord, we live in that victory. And we walk in that victory in the power of your spirit. Please be our teacher today, Holy Spirit, as we open these holy scriptures. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, believe it or not, I can still remember all the way back to the first sermon I was ever privileged to preach at Pleasant Valley. That was a few years ago. We'll just say a couple decades. But I remember all the way back to that day. And I remember that earlier that week, as I had been walking and praying and just seeking God's leading as in this invitation, this call to come to Pleasant Valley Church, to PVC, that the Lord had laid it on my heart with real clarity, with just unmistakable clarity. I'd started on the walk not knowing, and when I came back, I knew that God's call was that I pastor a healthy, life-giving church. Life-giving, and that God would bring to eternal life people who would come through and be connected with and be impacted by the ministries of this church and all of us together as the family of God. A life-giving church and a healthy church, healthy in that God is not going to entrust his lost and hurting sheep to a church that will hurt them worse than they were before they got here. We got to be healthy. Well, how do you get healthy? How do you get well? One of the things I've discovered over the years in my own life and as I've worked as a pastoral counselor at times, and that is I've discovered that people who tell the truth get well. People who come out of darkness into light, speak the truth, get well. And it's amazing. It's amazing how God uses truth to bring us into health and to become well and to become healed. And what is the core truth that we've been entrusted with? The gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the core. That is the treasure in this jar of clay. The treasure that we hold in this jar of clay, jars of clay ourselves, jar of clay this church family, this body, Christ is the head, but the treasure we hold, this good news of Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit, that together we are privileged to share this. So on that first Sabbath here, and it was different then. Does anybody remember that? Was anybody here that first Sabbath? Okay, there were several of us. Okay. And by the way, I did see a picture this week. I don't know where. We were going through some stuff, and I saw I did have black hair. Okay, so just wanted to nail that down. Sort of. Okay, somewhere in that neighborhood. But this platform had a wall all the way around it and had a big high, had a pulpit here, and Elder... Oh, I just forgot his name, our conference president, Alf Birch. Alf was sitting right here, Elder Birch. But here we were, he introduced us. And as I get up to preach, the Lord had laid on my heart something that I realized was significant. More significant than I realized is what I meant to say. More significant than I realized. And that was, I stood up and I said, well, the first thing I want to tell you is, I want you to know, this church does not belong to the pastor. And there were some amens, yes. Yeah, that's all right. Amen. It doesn't belong to the pastor or pastors. Pastor Ashok, are you with me here? Okay. Pastor Greg would agree as well, I'm sure. It doesn't belong to us. Secondly, this church does not belong to the conference. And my conference president squirmed just a little bit when I said that. Okay. It doesn't belong to the conference, the union, the division, the GC. I know the conference holds the paper on, but it doesn't belong to them. And then I said, and this is the hardest one of all, this church doesn't even belong to those who love it and who have built it and with their own time and treasure and talent have made it such a beautiful sanctuary. This church belongs to the Lord. I am telling you, what a great, I so was blessed by your prayer this morning, Colette, as you prayed about freedom. What a great freedom to know that it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him. We are trustees that he has placed, but it belongs to him. And when it belongs to him, that means that when we look and say, well, what do we do next? What are the ideas that I still remember it was early on, maybe the first month, month and a half that we were here. And I remember on that in that 1 week, one of the brothers came to my office and said, Pastor, I've been thinking and praying about this, and I really believe that we need to sell this land because we had the drain field then in those days out in the back. There was no parking back there. And it looked like nothing's ever going to change. That drain field's just there, and we're just stuck. We don't have room for. We need to sell this land and take that and go and start over again. And you know what I answered? Thank you. Perhaps. Wow. Were you here the first Sabbath I was here? No, you were not, Miranda. But you have come and you've learned this. That's my word. And perhaps is always the invitation to prayer. Because it's not yours or mine to make a decision to sell this. Okay? That's not ours. It belongs to him. So when we say perhaps, it means then we go to our knees and we say, Lord, this is your church. What shall we do? That very same week, another brother came to my office and just said to me, you know what, I've been thinking and praying about this. We must never sell this land. Ever. It must never, ever be sold because it was gifted to us by the people who live next door, divide their property down the middle. This is miracle. This is grace given. We must never. And you know what I answered? Perhaps. Let's pray. You know, let's pray. Let's not go into power games and see if we can get a 51% vote and win it. No. No, this is about us seeking to know the leading of the Lord. And that, when we come to that place where we go, and in my heart, I hold this. Every time I get nervous, I just stop and I go, okay, Lord, this is your church. PVC belongs to you. It's not mine, it's yours. And I give it back to him. And when I give it to him, I have a renewed sense of freedom and the great joy in the gospel and the privilege of this being I still love that PVC moniker. What is PVC? It's just a pipe. Oh, and that's what we are. We're a delivery system for the good news. That's who we are, PVC, a delivery system for the good news. And the freedom, the joy we have in the gospel, and then the freedom we have is the kind of freedom that God wants us to have, not just at church, but in our own lives. What if you went home today and knelt down, even before you went home, and just said right now, just said, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I belong to you. Is that biblical? Where would you go to say it's biblical? Oh, I know. Let me think. For you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Oh, so it's just us recognizing that we don't belong. Hey, Lord, I don't belong. I belong to you. What would you have me do next? Lord, my property, my house, my treasure, everything I have, it belongs to you. What freedom. What freedom, and that is the freedom that the church, the early church in the book of Acts, for those of you who are guests here, we've been working our way passage by passage through the book of Acts. And we go back there today, and we're going to go Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Look at what we find here. This is a picture where we catch them in the middle of a prayer meeting and listen to their prayer. And now, Lord, look upon their threats. These are the threats of the powers that be. The ones who had come and just arrested them and now had just let them go, and they went straight from being held in prison, straight from the courthouse, they went straight to the prayer meeting in the upper room. Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak with boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Wow. What a picture, what a prayer to pray after you've just come out of jail and they said, don't you ever speak about him again. They pray for, we'll speak with boldness. And now we go to that next verse. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. Did you know that happened a second time? There was day of Pentecost. And here they are still in step with the Lord, and the Lord is present. They were shaken, and they were all, some, all. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Wow. What a picture of a church. And now look, I love these next two verses, 32, 33. Now the full number of those who believed Wow, wouldn't you love to be part of a church like this? The full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. One heart, one soul. We're one. We're all one in Christ. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. They had everything in common. You know what they were saying? They were all saying, everything I have belongs to him. It all belongs to him. Lord, I'm at your disposal. Just use me. How do you need? What do I need? What do I do next? What would you have me do? Verse 33. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And I love this. Great power and great grace was upon them. Some? Oh, what an amazing experience of church. What an invitation and God's purpose that the very reality of that early primitive church would be the reality of God's church in the end times. He's saying, that's what I would have for you this day, the day in which we live. Has anybody noticed that everything that can be shaken is being shaken? Or am I just the only guy? Everything that can be shaken is being shaken? What a moment, what a time for us to seek and allow the Holy Spirit to be poured through us. Now, here comes the next part of the picture. And that is, a man, they're going to go to actual specific. Let's keep going. And there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands and houses sold them, brought the proceeds, and they laid them at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Keep going. Next verse, 35. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostle Barnabas, which means son of... Isn't that a nice name? Wouldn't you love to have a Barnabas in your church? Son, daughter of encouragement, a daughter of encouragement, a son of encouragement, goes around, comes to church. I'm just going to church. Why are you going? I'm going there to encourage people. I'm going there so I can help lift them up and encourage them, bear their burden. Sold a field that belonged to him, and he brought the money, and he laid it at the apostles' feet, Barnabas. I look at this, and first of all, let me go back and just ask a question. How come there's so much discussion in the early church about people needing to sell their land and be able to share it with others? How come? Because, remember, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people. And then at the end of chapter 4, we found it goes to 5,000. But guess what? 3,000, 5,000, they were disowned, disinherited. They were left with no economic reason. They were thrown out of their homes. You had all these people that suddenly did not have a home to go back to. They were homeless. They were without inheritance. They were without resources. And the early church heard the call and said, we're going to help you through this. This is still the reality when Paul goes on his missionary journeys and gathers offerings to bring back to Jerusalem. Still meeting the needs of God's people who have lost their families. But here's the beauty of it. Lose your family for my sake, said Lord. What? You get a new family. It's a new family. It's called the Church of Jesus Christ. And this is where Barnabas was. He had done this. And I think about the freedom of this man to do what he did. Barnabas sold a field that belonged to him. He brought the money and he laid it at the apostles. You think about freedom. See, here's the deal. When everything I own belongs to him, that means that my stuff and my things no longer own me. Let me say it again. When everything I own belongs to him, that means my stuff and my things no longer own me. We think we own it. They end up owning us. These are the chains that bind. And here is a man that is free. I love it because this is the same Barnabas who's going to go to a man named Saul who is being shunned by the church because he was a persecutor but is now accepted and would not accept him. It's Barnabas who brought in to the church the very man who would write the great majority of the New Testament. It's amazing. This man, the freedom that he had. In Christ, I'm free. And in Christ, you and I are free to use things and love people rather than love things and use people. Okay? In Christ, you and I are set free to use things and love people rather than love things, and use people. And so the church, this thing called church, this miracle, have I ever mentioned that it's a miracle every time church works? Every single time. Responding to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this miracle was going like wildfire. Great power, great grace, great joy in the gospel, great freedom, and then great tragedy struck. Does anybody know what next happens next? Okay, here we go. Chapter 5, verse 1. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. With his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Next verse. But Peter said, Ananias, why, I'm going to add some, why have you allowed, why have you permitted Satan to fill your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? We look at this and go, oh boy. So here's Peter, and he's sitting in the, you know, in the authority seat, and he's saying, hey, I'm going to squeeze you for every last dime of tithe dollars I can get, right? I'm going to squeeze you for every penny of offering. You know, in this church, that as pastors, we don't look at the church books. I want you to know that. We've made that decision, lo, these many years. I have never looked at the book. We don't look. You know why? I don't want to relate to any person here based on what you give or don't give. I don't want to do that. So when I look at Peter, I believe I'm following in the footsteps of Peter. And Peter is not here going, hey, I'm going to squeeze you for some more. No, that's not what's going on. See, God loves a cheerful giver. The giving that happens is giving that is between you and God. Between me and God, the giving that happens, and that giving is what is the Spirit, as we respond to the Spirit, and then we give, then we are able to be a blessing to each other and to see the work of God go forward in this area, in this pleasant happy valley. Okay, you know, but to see that's how we roll. But Peter here has been in. How does Peter know this? You know. Did he check the book? No. This is a Holy Spirit moment. It's a Holy Spirit moment. And by the way, this is a moment for Ananias to repent. Don't miss this. We think, oh, well, they just came out, boom, you know. No. When Peter speaks these words, Ananias has a moment where he can go, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What was I thinking? I walked in here and pretended that I was like Barnabas, because Barnabas is now, you know, kind of the hero in the community. I pretend I'm Barnabas. At the same time, I'm playing two sides of the street, and I then come in and lie about it. And Peter just says, Ananias, isn't this interesting? We just read that when they, at the end of the prayer meeting, the place was shaken, the upper room was shaken, and all were filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that means? That means that Ananias and Sapphira had been filled with the Holy Spirit. They too were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they began to kind of go, this is not the way the world works. And I've got to be, a man has got to be responsible for it. And they started, and what did they do? They began to talk themselves out of their freedom and to go back into slavery to what owned them. And then at this point, they then decide to give some, but then lie about it. And they hatch this plot, and they come in to set this up. And this is at a point where God is present in such power, and they're there. And that's why Peter says, you didn't lie to me. You just lied to the Holy Spirit. Now, look what he says next. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? See, there is complete freedom in this. It's yours. And after it was sold, you can do whatever you want with it. It's at your disposal. Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You've not lied to man. You've lied to God. This is serious stuff to go into a lie. Very serious stuff. You've gone into this lie. You've been, instead of being filled with the Spirit, you've now grieved the Spirit. The Spirit was present. You were filled. You have now driven the spirit out and opened the door for Satan to come and fill your heart, and you've now gone into a lie. By the way, it's clear from this, if you want to think theologically here just for a moment, he just said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit, you've lied to God, making the Holy Spirit, by the way, sometimes I hear people say, well, Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit just an electrical force? You can't lie to an electrical force. You can't lie. No, Holy Spirit, third person of the Godhead, and identified here, you haven't lied to man, you've lied to God. You've lied to the Holy Spirit and God, equivalent, part of this whole Godhead and understanding that we see in the New Testament clearly and pointed forward to in the Old. Look at these words in John chapter 8, verse 44. If you're filled with Satan, get ready for it. If you've allowed yourself to be filled with Satan by grieving the Spirit, driving him out, and you are going to, how did Bob Dylan's old song go? You're going to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve someone. Okay, have you ever heard of Bob Dylan? No, okay. So back in his Christian chapter, boy, he wrote some stuff that was inspired. But they said, you're going to serve somebody. Don't pretend you can be neutral here. This is not a neutral something. No, you're going to serve someone. You are of your father, the devil. This is Jesus speaking there in John chapter 8 to the crowd that's attacking him. Your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Did I mention earlier that when people step into truth, when we step into the truth, into the light from dark, we get well. We go back into darkness, we get sick. We spiral down. So this is, and this goes right to who Satan is. And if you're filled with Satan, oh my. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down, breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. And the young man rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. It's a tragic, horrible story. Great fear. Here we went from great power, great grace, great joy, great freedom, to now a great tragedy that now leads to great fear. Look what happens next. Go to the next verse. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, we sold it for that much. She doubles down on the lie. What were they thinking? Really, I mean, what were they thinking at this point? As I thought about this, I thought, you know, I think that they were thinking they were just dealing with this thing called religion, which religion is a human enterprise. We buy land, we build buildings, we pay the bills, we make sure the lights stay on, and hopefully in the summer the air conditioning works, and you know, it's a human enterprise. Yeah, it's part that's true. They thought they were just doing religion as a human enterprise. They were playing at the game of religion. And they were even playing the game well to position themselves to be honored as much as Barnabas was. But at the same time, they were taking care and patting their own pocket and presenting themselves in a way that in a lie situation. They thought they were playing the game of religion rather than recognizing that when you come to the Lord, you are being engaged by, first of all, he's the one that drew you. Secondly, he's the one that is engaging you and confronting you, the very source of life and light and righteousness and holiness and goodness in the entire universe. And go ahead and let Hubble inform your thinking of universe here. This is the one that you're engaging with. This is the one who has engaged you and engaged me, confronted us. This is real stuff. This is the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Great I Am. The Great I Am. We're not playing games. This is the real thing. We kind of think, oh, no, it's not that real. We can just do our, you know, this is just another human, you know, exercise. I remember back as a boy, and I was probably in, second or third grade, somewhere there. And there were kids in the neighborhood, and we lived on this place. They actually had a sheep field behind it. There were sheep in two different pastures and a barn down the hill, and then there was a grassy lane that went and took a turn, went down to another road. But out there, we were just on the edges of Erie, Pennsylvania, the place where, you know, the suburbs were just going. And there was an old house out there, and all the older kids told us, it's haunted. It's a haunted house. Well, us little kids in the neighborhood were like, whoa. And we say, how do you know it's haunted? Well, said Johnny Rensel, Johnny, if you're listening, okay, here it is. So Johnny stood there, and Johnny says, well, we were standing there one day, and we were looking at it, and while we were looking at it, pew, a window just broke. I later learned he was the guy who threw the rock. Okay, but, okay, they told us kids this stuff. They said, and we peeked in the window, and we saw, you know, the table was set, and there was food in the plates, and it was uneaten, and, you know, all this stuff. So they tell all the little kids. So us kids, now, this is wonderful back in those days, because moms and dads would just say, dads would go to work, and moms would say, go on out back, and don't come home till supper. Okay, this was wonderful days. Okay, freedom. Okay, so they said, well, let's go. So they talked to us, and we're all going to go down to the house. So we went down the grassy lane, took the left, went down, and we kind of stood out there and watched for a while. And then Johnny, Jerry's older brother, Jerry was my best friend, and his dad was our coach for Little League and all this. Well, Johnny says, let's go. Look, that back section is open. It was like one of those old basements that had a door. And he said, it's open. We should go in and go through the basement, up the stairs into the house. What could possibly go wrong, okay? So here we go, and we go hiking in, and we're like, and so we all kind of follow the big guys. And little kids, you don't have to follow the big, okay? Little kids, you do not have to follow the big kids, okay? Don't do that. This was really foolish of Pastor George. But we followed, we went in. Basements were already scary places, right? What are you doing going into a basement? So we go in, and we start to go, and we're going to go up the steps. And I kid you not, we heard footsteps. Boom, boom, coming right over toward the door. And I'm telling you, I still feel the hair rising in the back of my neck. How many years ago was that? 50 years? Okay. And we turn, and I'm sorry to say that the big kids utterly abandoned the little kids and ran for their lives. The little kids came screaming after, down the lane, all the way. I mean, here's the point. We're just playing. We were all kind of playing at this. We never meant it to get that real. Don't be playing at church. I mean, don't be playing like it's, oh, well, it's just another, yeah, but no. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, not one of the spirits, the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the reality of God and of his presence in this world. Acts 9. Or 5:9, Peter said to her, how is it that, oh, immediately, here it is. Did I read that already? Let's go back to 9. How is it that you've agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Oh, what were you thinking? What? Behold, the feet of those who buried your son of your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Whew. Next verse. Immediately she fell down at his feet, breathed her last. The young men came in, they found her dead. They carried her out, buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Here was, you go from great power, great grace, great joy, great freedom, and now you move into this, oh, now, God will even use great fear. He will. God will use great fear. He'll use the fear of, you know, the fears in our hearts that, oh, do I still, have I wounded the Lord? God will use whatever fear he can use to touch our hearts. But this is not God's purpose in the life of the people who are the church of God. So I'll go from preaching to meddling and just ask the question. Anybody here lying to God? Anyone here lying to God? No, Pastor. No, I'm not lying to God. Okay, let's try it this way. Anyone here trifling with God? Just trifling? Just kind of playing the game? Playing the religion game? I'm sorry to tell you this. And it pains me when I think back, but there was a time in my life when I grieved the Holy Spirit. And I know it very clearly. I grieved the Holy Spirit through a sin of rebellion that deliberately was chosen. And I grieved the Spirit. And I will just tell you that I have never felt such emptiness in my entire life. And I mean, it wasn't just one day, it was 2 days, it was three. It was such emptiness as in it went 3 to 4 days. And I went into great fear. I went into great fear that as to whether I would ever be able to receive the Holy Spirit again. I don't ever, ever want to go back into that empty and dark place, ever. And I just say to you, I praise God for His grace and His mercy. I see mercy. God protecting us from what we do deserve. Grace, God giving us what we don't deserve. I thank Him and I praise Him for that. I never want to go there, and I never want any one of you to know that experience of that darkness and that emptiness. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, the Holy One, the Righteous One. This God has made a way of return for sin-sick sinners. Amen? I'm going to read you just a paragraph. This is from the book called Secrets of the Secret Place, which we're looking forward to being our 40 days of prayer beginning in September. So listen to these words. The only solution is the cross of Christ. Now, through the blood of the cross, sinful man is able to come into the immediate presence of the Holy God and subject himself to the glory that will change him. This was the opportunity that both Ananias and Sapphira had. There was the opportunity was there to repent, to return, and to receive what God had for them. As we surrender to this glory, we are changed into the likeness of the glory of Christ. The amazing part is this, that despite our weaknesses, our failures, our sinfulness, anybody resemble this remark? Yeah, despite our weaknesses, our failures, our sinfulness, we are now able to come into the immediate presence of the altogether Holy One. What a privilege. Only a fool will neglect or avoid this place of glorious change. And so this day, I just invite you, to consider. We won't go to the verses that some other verses I had. But I'll just say that peace of the church at the end time, fear God and give glory to Him. Yeah. You say, fear, but we don't have to fear God. God is love. Yes, God is love. God is awesome. But let me just ask you, anybody here ever been to the Grand Canyon? Is that an awesome place? Oh, it is great, awesome. And I look at that at the Grand Canyon, I say, this is so amazing. And I have reverent awe as I stand there. But would I let my kids do cartwheels on the rim? Are you kidding me? Cartwheels on the rim? Trifling with God? Fear God. This would be a healthy fear of awareness. Fear God, but give glory to Him and worship Him who made heaven, earth, sea, and the fountains of water and all that is, and that these be the people of God who keep the faith of Jesus, who keep the commandments of God, the faith of Jesus, and live our lives to the praise of His glory. Invitation to be part of a church family, to be part of a church family who's committed to this reality of the great and loving God who has opened the way of salvation for every one of us. Let's stand together, lift our voices in prayer and praise to Him. Lord, we're amazed at Your grace, Your mercy, Your great love for us. We're amazed when we recognize and know that You are the Holy One, high and lifted up. Your ways are not man's ways. Lord, with a love so great, You love the world so much that You gave Your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And on this day, we say yes to You. Yes, thank You for the invitation. Yes, Lord. Thank You for opening that door at such cost, all the way to a cross, to take all the sin of the world on You, but no sin in You. Death could not hold You on the third day to rise victorious, and now from the right hand of the Father to pour Your Holy Spirit into our lives, that we might indeed taste and know that You are good, and that your holiness, your righteousness, your faithfulness would be poured into our lives, that we might be channels of your light and blessing in this world. If it's your desire to say yes to this Jesus this day, to the praise of his glory, just lift your hand and say, Lord, please forgive me, make me new in Christ. May I go from this place filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to the praise of God's glory. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. And all God's people shouted,